Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio broadcast. Today is Thursday, October 28th, 2021. And last week, this past Thursday, I began a brand new short series on the subject of how Jesus treated women. It's featured in my book, Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes. The reason for this series is to show the truth claims of Christianity as found in the person and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So often we see battered, wounded, victimized women in cultures, especially Muslim-majority cultures all over the world. We see how they're treated as second-class citizens. And I can testify of this, being a voice for the Iranian women, how they are oppressed on a daily basis. And I have wanted to do this series to show that Christianity is true on so many levels. But on the most important level is the value and the treatment of women by Jesus. Many times I have read the testimonies of former Muslim women who, living in battered and abused cultures because of Islam, when they begin to read the Gospels and study the life of Christ, and they see the compassion and the mercy that Christ showed toward women, and they compare that with the view of Muhammad, it doesn't take much at all for them to say, I want to know Jesus. I want to follow him at the very risk of my life. And many Muslim women leave Islam on this fact and this fact alone, on the view of Jesus and how he treated women. Last Thursday, I gave an example from the Gospel of John of how Jesus interceded when a woman was about to be stoned, a woman caught in adultery. And we went through that very carefully, how Jesus spoke directly to the religious leaders and said to them, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they were pierced to the heart, dropped their stones, and left. Jesus intervened in a woman who had sinned, and he showed her mercy instead of judgment. This week, we have another biblical example of another woman that Jesus is going to enter into the life of and transform her forever. But last week, as we began this series, I explained the view of women in the day of Jesus. It was into a culture of oppression that Jesus came. Women were treated as second-class citizens at that time by the religious establishment. Here are just a couple of examples that you can listen to. The law, or the oral law of Jesus' day, said, "Let the words of the law be burned rather than committed to women. The woman, says the law, is in all things inferior to man. Let her be accordingly be submissive." And that's Appian chapter 2, verses 2-10. That was the oral law of Jesus' day. The Thanksgiving prayer of a Jew went something like this: "Praised be to the God that he has not created me a Gentile. Praised be to God that he created me not a woman." And this was the mood of the Jewish religious culture that was very hostile to the average woman. It was into this culture that Jesus came to restore the value and worth of a woman. Jesus was on a mission of giving hope to the hopeless. In his hometown of Nazareth, he had announced his messiahship to a hostile crowd that wanted to throw him down from a cliff. Prior to that, he had entered the synagogue there and opened the scroll of Isaiah and began reading at chapter 61. All eyes in this synagogue were intently and focused upon him as he opened his mouth to teach. Quote, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come." When Jesus finished and he closed the scroll, he proclaimed, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The entire ministry of Jesus had been beautifully predicted or prophesied in the powerful prophecy of Isaiah 61, which I just read. He had come to proclaim good news to the poor in spirit, to heal the hearts that were broken by sin, and to set the captives free from their chains of sorrow and despair. This was indeed good news for the afflicted, good news for the oppressed, good news for the spiritually broken. Well, to our study for today, there is a subtle but powerful little verse tucked into the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John that describes the spirit-driven mission of Jesus into forbidden territory. Here's that verse, John chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. "He left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria." And he had to pass through Samaria. There's that subtle little but very powerful verse. This is very important to understand. Jesus deliberately chose this route. Like I mentioned, he was a man on a mission to break down the hostile and divisive walls of racism that had existed for centuries between the Jews and the Samaritans. Let me tell you the story. The Samaritans were despised and hated by the Jews. During the Babylonian captivity, when pagans had entered the land and mingled with the Jews, the result? A deadly mixed race, intermarriage. The Hebrews of the northern kingdom and the Assyrian settlers, as I mentioned, had intermarried, and that poisoned the pure race during that captivity in 722 BC. The worship of Yahweh had been corrupted by heathen practice, and that created a major rift between the Jews and Samaritans. The Samaritans had offered to rebuild the temple, and they were refused by the Jewish people. So as a result, here's what the Samaritans did. They built their own temple on Mount Gerizim in protest. the Jewish people were known to say, "May I never set my eyes on a Samaritan." Deep, deep rifts of racism. However, Jesus had deliberately chosen the route that took him through Samaria so that he could break down the divisive barriers of racism and bring hope and healing to the hardened hearts that had been corrupted by sin for so many centuries. So here's Jesus going through Samaria. He's weary from a long journey. He decides to relax. He sits down next to Jacob's well. It's located in the Samaritan town of Sychar. Jesus had just sat down when a young Samaritan woman arrived with her bucket to draw water from the well. Interesting about this woman specifically chose the same time every day to draw water from the well because she knew that at this time she would be alone. Well, she was wrong this time. Why was she wanting to do it this way? Well, her reputation among the other village women had been tarnished because she was living with a man out of wedlock. And in order to avoid this painful stigma of confrontation, the Samaritan woman secretly every day came alone at this same time. However, not by chance, not by luck, but by divine providence, today she was not alone. As soon as the woman arrived at the well, Jesus startled her with an unusual request: "Give me a drink." The fact that Jesus was talking to a woman, and listen carefully, the fact that Jesus was talking to a woman, and not just any woman, but a woman from the despised and half-breed Jewish race, was shocking to her. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Well, Jesus, in talking to the Samaritan woman, broke through two barriers, one steeped in bigotry and the other in gender discrimination. When the Pharisees saw a woman approaching, they would close their eyes, and as a result were always constantly bumping into things. Thus, they were nicknamed bleeding and bruised Pharisees. However, as you have noticed so far, Jesus deliberately chose to go against the accepted racial norms of his day. He broke with the accepted precepts of gender abuse. Jesus had traveled a long distance to keep this divine appointment with a woman who had been shunned by her female peers and ostracized by the Jewish race. "If you knew the gift of God," Jesus said, "and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus reaches out in compassion to this shunned woman and invites her to drink of the water that will go far beyond just quenching her thirst, but instead will fill her soul with refreshment and healing. Yet still, at this point, this Samaritan woman does not yet grasp what Jesus is saying. Where did you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" she asks. Jesus immediately corrects her perception and gently guides her into the spiritual truth that he is offering her. He points out to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." You can imagine now, this woman is startled and shocked, but she is feeling this gentle persuasion. The words that Jesus had just spoken had penetrated her anxious soul and gave her a craving for what he was offering, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come back here to drink water. Wait a second here. Slow down. Before Jesus graciously gives her the living water, she must first be gently prodded by the convicting grace of a holy God who knows everything about you and me. Jesus, in respect and politeness, points out the prevailing sin in her life that she needs to recognize before experiencing the refreshing taste of the living water he wants to give her. Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Well, the woman was pierced through the heart. She answered in shame, "I have no husband." Jesus says to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Well, the Samaritan woman is astonished, and she quickly recognizes Jesus as a prophet. However, she skillfully tries to avoid her sin by turning the conversation toward the subject of correct worship. And as you read this account, you know, she's going to go back and forth on what is the right place to worship. Because remember, the Samaritans had created their own temple. And the woman points out to Jesus, "Well, I know when the Messiah comes, he'll correct this problem of worship. Where is the right place to worship?" Now, after he's confronted her with her sin, and she skillfully tries to avoid it and gets into the subject of worship, and she says basically, you know, when the Messiah comes, he's going to fix all this. Jesus looks her straight in the eyes and in the heart, and he says, "I who speak to you am he." I think this is such a beautiful statement. Who is the first person that Jesus reveals his messiahship to, but to a woman? Such a beautiful scene. She drops her water jar in shock and amazement. And what happens is she rushes back into a town. I mean, here's a woman that was living in shame, and she came today to avoid the stigma of confrontation, and now she has met the Messiah, and she is in shock and amazement. And she rushes back into town in jubilation, and she says, "I have found the Messiah. Come and see." And as a result, many believed her testimony. Who was the first bearer of the good news of Jesus as Messiah but this Samaritan woman? This is a beautiful, it's a profound story of God's grace toward women. The Samaritan woman was one of the first persons that Jesus revealed his messianic identity to. She had come to the well on an ordinary day and left transformed by the true living water that had cleansed her from all of her guilt and shame. And as a result, she became a passionate evangelist, commissioned by the Son of God to take the message of living water to her village. The first evangelist, by the way, was a woman who had that reputation of being a harlot. And now today, she is heralded as a beautiful bearer of good news. For those of you that say that women can't preach, pastor, or teach in church, that somehow God's word nullifies that, it's interesting here that Jesus, the Son of God, not only spoke to this woman, breaking down the barriers of racism and gender discrimination, not only did he heal her and reveal his messianic identity to her, but he commissioned her to go and preach the good news to her village. It seems to me now, in our modern day, that we have got it backwards. God commissioned women to go and preach and teach then in the first century. And today we say, well, God's word prohibits that. It seems to me that Jesus has a far different opinion than the religious establishment of this day. This Samaritan woman finally grasped Jesus had said. She became aware of her need. It's beautiful. She had come with a bucket, and Jesus sent her back with a spring of living water. She had come as a reject. Jesus sent her back being accepted by God himself. She came wounded. Jesus sent her back whole. She came laden with questions. Jesus sent her back as a source for those answers. She came living a life of quiet desperation. She ran back overflowing with hope. Well, the disciples had missed it all. It was lunchtime for them. This story of the Samaritan woman is one of the most beautiful stories in all of the gospel. I want us to take just a few minutes now and listen to a song that describes this beautiful woman transformed by the living water of Jesus. This is Carole Mack and Beautiful on the Cross in the Desert. What a song of great beauty and worth. What a message. It's a song by Carole Mack called Beautiful, describing this encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Today, if you are a woman scarred and broken, there is hope and healing in Jesus. Maybe you've been taught that God doesn't really treat you as an equal. Maybe you've been influenced by so much religious tradition about the worth and value of a woman in the sight of God. Today, this story is a story of hope and healing and truth. And Jesus came on the scene, a scene where women were rejected and discriminated against and oppressed, and he lifted them up out of the gutters of discrimination and oppression, and he showed them worth and value. Your name is beautiful today when you meet Jesus. All of us are broken inside. All of us have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He was a man on a mission. He wasn't here to introduce another religion to the Jewish people. He came as their Messiah, the promised one. And Jesus is reaching out to you today. If you're a woman battered, abused, and scarred, Jesus wants to heal your scars. Jesus wants to heal your brokenness. He wants to give you a new life and a new beginning. When you come to him, your name is changed from scarred to beautiful, because that's who Jesus is. He is beautiful. And as you think about this encounter today of the Samaritan woman, you can picture a woman standing on a hillside and the sun is rising to greet the day, and dangling from her wrists are two shackles. Broken, she is free. That's a picture of you. He who the sun sets free is free indeed, Jesus says. I have come to bring you life. Give yourself to him today. Open your heart and let the living water of his life be poured into your wounds and bring healing and wholeness. He comes as the Messiah of forgiveness, the Messiah of hope. Today, if you have heard this broadcast and you still feel so broken, cry out to Jesus. And like the Samaritan woman, you will never be the same again. I promise you that. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Monday at 9:30 a.m., I will see you once again right here on the Cross in the Desert for another broadcast. Stay safe. Have a good weekend. I will see you then.